Today, households spend less but borrow more. What could possibly go wrong in a higher for longer rate environment? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, the ABS, the government-sponsored fiction factory, reported that in November 2023, new loan commitments in a season-adjusted basis rose 1% for housing, fell 5.6% for personal fixed-term loans, and fell 4.8% for business construction, which is a typically volatile series, and fell 6.4% for businesses' purchase of property. So housing credit is still relatively strong despite the higher interest rates and potentially signalling that the RBA will need to dampen demand further in its inflation battle. Looking in more detail at the new housing commitments, which will exclude refinancing in November, and seasonally adjusted in terms, the value of new loan commitments for total housing rose 1% to $27.6 billion. That's after a rise of 7.1% in October. It's actually 13.1% higher compared to a year ago. Now, breaking that out, for owner-occupier housing, it rose 0.5% to $17.9 billion and was 10.6% higher compared to a year ago. While for investment housing, that rose 1.6% to $9.7 billion and was 18% higher compared to a year ago. So investors are back, mate. In November, in season-adjusted terms for owner-occupier houses, the value of new loan commitments for the purchase of existing dwellings fell 0.1%, but that was still 14.1% higher compared to a year ago. For the construction of new dwellings, that rose 0.7%, but was 12.4% lower compared to a year ago. And for the purchase of new dwellings, that rose 2.5% and was 4.2% higher compared to a year ago. So the construction sector is still under the gun, although we are seeing new purchases coming through. Refinancing actually remained quite strong, although off from recent highs. In November, again in season-adjusted terms, the value of external refinancing for total housing rose 0.7% to $17.5 billion, but it was still 11.9% lower compared to a year ago. And within that, for owner-occupier housing, it rose 1.5% to $11.6 billion and was 15.5% lower compared to a year ago. While for investment housing, that fell 0.7% to $5.9 billion. And that was 3.9% lower compared to a year ago. Now, two observations here. Firstly, of course, a lot of the fixed to variable has already gone through, although there's a bit more of that. But the other is that the movement in rates now have stalled a bit. So maybe no surprise that refinancing is less strong than it was. Now, across the states in November, again in season-adjusted terms, owner-occupier housing show that the value of new loan commitments in Queensland rose 3.3%, in Victoria it rose 2%, in South Australia it rose 6.9%, in the ACT it rose 9.4%, and in the Northern Territory it rose 6%. But in New South Wales it fell 1.1%, Western Australia fell 2.9%, and in Tasmania it fell 15.2%. So the growth in owner-occupier and investment lending seen through 2023 was driven by the three states with the largest populations. And for both owner-occupiers and investors, New South Wales saw the most growth, while Tasmania, of course, fell off a cliff. That said, the Tasmanian, Northern Territory and ACT series are smaller and therefore more volatile. Now, looking at lending for business-related new finance for property in November, again, in season-adjusted terms, the value of new loan commitments for construction finance fell 4.8% after a rise of 1.2% in October. In trend terms, it rose 0.6%. For the purchase of property, that fell 6.4% after a fall of 3.7% in October. And in trend terms, it was flat. And it's worth saying these series can be volatile month on month because they're often affected by small numbers of high-value loans. And looking at the state story for investor housing, the value of new loan commitments in Queensland rose 3.7%. In Victoria, it rose 2.2%. In the ACT, it rose 18.4%. In South Australia, it rose 6.1%. In Western Australia, it rose 0.5%. In Northern Territory, it rose 6.9%. But in New South Wales, it was down 1.4%. And in Tasmania, it fell 11.8%. And just to underscore, the Tasmanian, Northern Territory and ACT series are smaller and therefore more volatile. But again, you can see that Tasmania is falling off a cliff. Now, looking at some of the other data, in November, in original terms, the value of new variable loans funded in the month rose 5.7%, while the value of new fixed rate loan commitments funded in the month fell 10.1% to the lowest point recorded in the series. No surprise that people aren't wanting to lock in the high rates currently. And looking at the average size for owner-occupied dwellings, which includes construction, the purchase of new dwellings and existing dwellings, excluding land and alterations and additions, that fell 0.3% at the national level from $610,000 to $608,000. It was 1.5% lower compared to a record high of $618,000 in January 22. But that said, Queensland loans reached a new average size at $557,000, reflective of the buoyant conditions seen in and around Brisbane in particular. Now, the ABS also included data on first-time buyers. And in November, again in seasonally adjusted terms for owner-occupier first-time buyers, the number of new loan commitments at the national level rose 3.5% to 10,395. That followed a 7.6% rise in October. And it was 20.3% higher compared to a year ago, but well off the peak of 16,256 in January 2021, when government incentives were in full force. There were, however, significant state variations. In Queensland, it rose 10.8%. In Western Australia, up 4.7%. In Victoria, rose 1.2%. In the ACT, it rose 14.2%. And in South Australia, it rose 3.5%. But in New South Wales, it fell 4.8%. In Tasmania, it fell 34.1%. And in the Northern Territory, it fell 1.4%. So again, you can see that Tasmania is in difficulty. No surprise that we are seeing property prices in that state falling off a cliff too. Now, also on Friday, the rather meaningless monthly household spending indicators were also published by the ABS. As these are based on current prices, they're not adjusted for the impacts of inflation. And so the indicator, whilst it's used producing aggregated and de-identified card and banking transactions from banks and financial institutions, are trending meaninglessly over time. So they reported that household spending increased 3.1% through the year on a current price calendar adjusted basis. The rise in spending was driven by spending on essential goods and services. Non-discretionary spending rose 5.8% compared to November last year, as spending on transport and health increased by 8.3% and 7.8% respectively. And meanwhile, Black Friday sales boosted discretionary spending in November, similar to the previous year. So households spent 0.3% more than in November 2022 on discretionary goods and services. Through the year, household spending increased for services 6.2%, while goods spending remained unchanged. And through the year, household spending increased for 7 out of the 9 spending categories. The largest increases were in transport, up 8.3%, health, up 7.8%, and hotels, cafes, and restaurants, up 5.8%. Through the year, household spending on services rose 6.2%, driven by increased spending on transport and health. And while goods spending remained unchanged, with increased spending on food and furnishings and household equipment, they were offset by a decline in spending on goods for recreation and culture. And through the year, non-discretionary spending rose 5.8%, driven by increased spending on transport, health and food. And while discretionary spending rose 0.3%, driven by increased spending on furnishings and household equipment, recreational and cultural services and accommodation services. Household spending increased through the year, actually, for all eight states and territories. Strongest increases were in the Northern Territories, up 8.7%, South Australia up 5.2%, and Western Australia up 4.6%. And looking in more detail in the Northern Territory, the strongest household spending categories through the year were hotels, cafes and restaurants, up 22.4%, clothing and footwear, up 16.7%, and alcoholic beverages and tobacco, up 15%. In South Australia, the strongest household spending categories through the year were transport, up 13.3%, health, 9.3%, alcoholic beverages and tobacco, up 8.4%. And in Western Australia, the strongest household spending categories through the year were alcoholic beverages and tobacco, up 11.5%, health, up 10.3%, and hotels, cafes and restaurants, up 8.3%. It's worth noting, though, that discretionary spending actually fell in New South Wales, down 1.1%, and Tasmania was down 1.7%, but ACT saw the largest drop at 2.7%. And given the recent floods that we've had down the East Coast, particularly in Queensland, it's going to be an interesting question as to whether spending is dropping even further, simply because people can't get about. And also, of course, we tend to see now a bigger splurge through Black Friday than in and around Christmas. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next month. But the bottom line is this. Households, if you actually were to inflation adjust these numbers, are actually forced to spend more because of inflation, but buying less volume of goods, particularly non-discretionary items. In other words, things you have to buy. There is definitely weakness in the discretionary categories, and that's probably going to continue. And if you think about that in the context of what I said with regard to the credit statistics, well, what is happening at the moment is that people are hunkering down, but they're still chasing property and bigger mortgages, particularly in Queensland. And I ask the question then, what happens as interest rates stay high for longer? Because in my surveys and in other data, what we're seeing is households less able to maintain their spending simply because their real wages are still going backwards. Inflation is still biting and interest rates are crushing many people. And therefore, in real terms, if you adjust for inflation, no surprise that in fact things are going backwards. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultant standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.